Hey kids, hi Anna. Lord, we just praise you, we glorify you, we thank you, Lord, that things are happening, good things are happening. Father God, place it in us to keep our prayers going and our faith in you to answer these prayers are still with us, and we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for great and bold faith that we know that when we pray, it's going to be answered. And tonight's not any different. It's going to be the same thing. Father, we just ask for your leading tonight by your Holy Spirit, that each one of us will be led. And Lord, we thank you for blessing those that aren't able to listen in because of work conditions or whatever. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you for bringing down the deep state and the evil people that have trafficked these children and adults also. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in us. Thank you for the man child. Thank you for the man child anointing very soon, Lord. And we praise you, we glorify you for all that's accomplished tonight in this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. What is wrong with you, Obadiah? Look like you had a sad, some kind of weird face on you, like you was holding your breath.
Answer, Michael.
It's just me.
I'm not sure what that's about. What are you seeing?
Hi, Missy.
You
Somebody
know
said.
what? The kids didn't recognize you, Benjamin, since you shaved, since you saw them last. They're like, "Who's that guy?" Shoshana was like, "You're pretty small on the screen." She's like, "Is that Daddy?" It's like, "No."
Amen. Yeah. Is that Shoshana? Woo, girl. What you doing? I'll see you. And Elisha. Hey, buddy. Ooh, that stinks. Good gracious. Shoshana. Stinky poo. Oh, my. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Ben. Go ahead, brother.
I don't know if y'all heard about what's happening in Manitoba, but there's a big wildfire up here, and smoke's kind of blowing in all the way over here now. And so just want to pray for the people of Manitoba. Lord, want to thank you for bringing the rain for those couple of days so that the fire wasn't as bad as it could be. But Lord, Father God, I just pray for the people that were burnt out of their homes, that were vacated out of their homes. Lord, Father God, we just pray that you protect them and that if there's any sort of deception going on, Father, that you put a stop to it, and I send forth my angels to give peace and to give any sort of financial aid, any sort of health that anybody needs over there in Manitoba. I just pray that they stay strong, and I just pray that they're healed, and I pray that they're provided for. In Jesus' name. And I command that fire to go out now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Ben and we thank it. We declare and decree it is so. That fire is taken care of in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for raining on you if that's what you have to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I prayed about something that I've kind of recently discovered. There's people out there that put Christian stuff on YouTube that's CGI, AI, or whatever. That, like, there's this one thing I know that they do put a disclaimer in there if you read this description. But there's this other site that I know of that puts out near-death experiences that I know aren't real. They're AI generated and so on and so forth. And I want y'all to agree with me that the angels go and take all this stuff down, that false
Amen.
prophecy, anything that's up there Christian that is not
That's
real.
false, yeah.
It's false. It's not true. In the name
Amen.
of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that because we don't want bringing disrepute to the Lord's name, causing unbelievers to stumble and scoff and mock and put conviction on people's hearts that are doing this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that that they realize it's wrong. And just praise you and thank you, Lord, for taking it all down through the angels in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Angels, go out there and get it and pull it down. That reminds me of the dream of the lady that's been praying for groceries. You remember that one? She'd been praying for groceries and been praying out loud. And her neighbor heard her. And he was an atheist. And he went out there and bought her 8 great big old sacks of groceries, put them on a porch. And she came out there and she started praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And the atheist guy, aha, I caught you. She said, I did that. There wasn't no God that did that. And she says, you did it, Lord. You did it. You did it. You did it, Lord. You did it. And the man said, no, I did it. I went out and I heard you praying and I wanted to show you that it wasn't God. She says, oh Lord, you did it and you made the devil pay for it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah,
That is so
that's so good. Yeah.
thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for making the devil pay for it. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Anna. Oh, okay. She's going off screen. Next. Okay. Let's see here. I want to pray. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I just put my hand up if there were any more prayer requests. I have a testimony, but go ahead. All prayers first.
Okay. Well, y'all agree with me. I cast down every curse spoken against Trump and his administration that the Satanists are doing, even if they're getting in a fellowship and praying in unison with one another against Trump and his administration. We cast everything that they've spoken down to the ground as null and void. And Lord, we thank you for clarity of thought in Trump and his administration. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down any faction. I cast out faction. I cast out anger. I cast out any bitterness or anger toward each other. I cast faction out of that administration in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. We're going to go forward with this MAGA unit, and it's all going to be in one accord. We're all going to be in one accord in this thing to upset what the deep state's trying to do in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you know those bills that we prayed for this afternoon. I pray the one about the what do you call it? Computer-driven financial thing that was going to bring us into the new world order, be gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it is cast out as null and void in the name of Jesus. And also, I want to thank you, Lord, for placing it in all the senators and congressmen's heart to pass this bill by Margaret Taylor Greene that outlaws seating and weather manipulation in this country. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. It is done. And we know, Lord, that you're going to expose all the people that are doing it. Of course, we already know who's doing it, but Lord, we thank you for exposing it for the whole American public in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, Missy, go ahead.
We had our AC unit put in today, and the guy comes up, you know, when they're all done putting it all in, and he said, "No, we're gonna test it and do all these different things, and it'll take us about 20 minutes." So I was sitting upstairs, and I heard it click on, and then right off. Did that three times, and I'm like, I don't, I'm thinking that's not what's how it's supposed to go. And then I didn't hear anything for the longest time. Finally came up and said that in the furnace, the electric panel wasn't able to sustain the new AC unit, that it was bad or whatever. So they had to have a guy go and get the part and bring it back. Actually, not one of the guys that was here, is somebody over at the office anyway. So, and it didn't cost us anything. And I was like, praise the Lord. I said, Merle, I said, you know what the Lord did? I said, that could have gone out. That could have gone out before the AC unit. It could have gone out after the AC unit, but the fact that it went out now, they didn't charge us for it or anything. And I said, I can guarantee you that would have probably cost us at least $200 easy more, you know? So I was like praising and thanking the Lord for how sovereignly that happened, you know? Perfect timing, you know? So praise you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord, for the big things and the little things. That was kind of
That's
a big
right.
thing. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And Ben probably understood everything that I was saying.
Yeah. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Anything more? Oh, did that fire NATO go out, y'all, out there in Utah? Y'all know what? Y'all the one that posted it, you or Julie.
Isn't that the fire that Ben was praying about? That was.
No.
Is that
the
the
one
same
I'm
fire that
talking
Ben was
about.
praying about?
No.
Is there another fire?
What he was talking
up
about
in
was
Utah,
up in
that huge
Canada.
fire. Last time I knew it was not contained.
Yeah, what he was talking about was
Amazing,
up
all
in
these
Canada.
fires burning.
I must have a delay here.
No, you don't. You have a good connection.
Amen. I'm being walked on, Shoshana, just like an old dog. They just walk all over me, girl. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Anna.
Can I share a testimony?
Sure.
Okay, I shared this. Can you hear me okay from here?
Yeah.
Okay. I shared this with a local group, but I think everybody on here knows. You've heard my first two testimonies where it started back a few years ago, and I started having like internal bleeding and all that stuff. And, you know, I think you guys have all heard the testimony. And the Lord healed me two different times. And so I had been going through that when I was pregnant with Shoshana. And after I gave birth, like, I just totally bounced back. I felt so great. Matthew had to like keep chasing me back to the couch. You're supposed to be resting. I didn't want to rest because I felt so good. But 2 weeks after I gave birth, it hit me so hard. And I like started losing so much blood, and I was so weak, and I couldn't eat for days. And anyways, it got really bad. And then that's when then the Lord healed me and it started to get better. And then I was completely healed. Well, the symptoms had come back again the third time, not as bad, but it got really bad. 2 weeks after I had Lakayla, just like with Shoshana. And it was like deja vu. It was like, oh no, I'm like, no, not again. Like, I don't want to go through this again, Lord. And I was just like, no. And so anyways, Kayla's 9 months now. So for the last several months, I was going through very similar symptoms as I was before. I was losing a bunch of weight, which for about the first 20 pounds was a good thing after I had the baby. But then I got down, like recently, I was down to like 126 pounds, which you guys who haven't met me in person probably don't know, but I'm almost 6 feet tall, so it's pretty small for me. And my bones were like, I didn't look too bad, like, because everybody obviously sees me clothed, but like my hip bones and my rib bones were starting to stick out. And Matthew's like, you need to gain some weight. And I was like, well, I'm eating plenty, it's not, I'm not, I probably couldn't eat more than this. Like, I was really eating anything I wanted to, too. And I wasn't like watching my calories or nothing. I was still losing weight. And anyways, David had prayed for me. I asked him to pray for me. And since he prayed for me, I don't know, it's only been like 2 weeks, I think. I've gained like 7 pounds. So I'm back like where I want to be, like in the 130s, like 135 is like a good weight for me. And so I'm just like, wow, Lord. And like my bones aren't sticking out anymore. And but the thing was, is I, because I was going through this again, I would get so discouraged sometimes. And I'd come right back out of it. But I kept thinking, oh, well, obviously that's why I'm not healed, because I keep getting in discouraged. So obviously that's unbelief. And well, once I get rid of this unbelief, then I can be healed, blah, blah, blah. Like Michael likes to quote, the only hindrance to healing is thinking there's a hindrance. Well, I was thinking this unbelief is a hindrance, but I wasn't really walking in unbelief. I was just falling into it. But then one day recently, I just kind of had this revelation. Maybe I'm not in the sin of unbelief. Like, because I am casting it down. I was like, maybe I do have faith. Maybe the devil is lying to me, telling me that I have got this problem with unbelief. And once I can kind of finally overcome this, then I will manifest my healing. I was like, maybe that's just the devil. And so every time that thought would come up, I'd be like, no, I have faith. And I started really like looking at the big picture. And I was like, I do have faith. Like, and I was thinking all the ways, like I've been walking out my faith. And I was like, I do have faith. And I just want to praise God, because y'all, I am healed. And unbelief is not a problem. I'm healed. And
Amen.
praise God. It's just, I don't have anything. So thank
Amen.
you, Lord. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. How you feeling, show? Shoo wee. Good gracious. Stinky poo. All right. Who's next? Hey, Barbara, Cheryl, and Joe. Good to see y'all tonight. All right, go ahead, Obadiah, Elisha, and show. All three of you had your hand up a while ago. Go ahead, Obadiah.
If he comes up with a testimony, he'll let you know.
Okay. Is this one of those like you always want me to do? If you're going, you want me to tell you a story? You making that up? No way, Jose. All right, who's next? Joe, did you have something you wanted to share?
But like that.
Yeah.
I think you said later.
Oh, okay, later. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Anna.
Actually, I wanted to pray we could all agree together for the homeschooling laws. I haven't read any articles on it, but I've seen some headlines alluding to the fact that some states are really cracking down on homeschoolers. There was a big thing a couple or a few months ago, where like this guy was supposedly locked in a closet by his stepmom, or locked downstairs for like 10 years after being pulled out for homeschooling. And I don't even know if it's a true story. It sounds like something they could really make up, because now that state is now coming on homeschoolers. Oh, well, we can't trust these people. There's no accountability because these kids aren't showing up to school every day. And they're just blowing it out of proportion. Whether the story is real or not, I don't know. But there's a couple different states that are trying to, really pressure the homeschoolers. And I know at least Missouri, they got crazy laws. Like, you have to basically tell them every day what you're doing. Like, we read from this in this book, from this page today, and we did this much math. And each kid, like, you would spend so much time documenting, you wouldn't even get very much homeschooling done. Like, that's crazy. And so they make it hard and intimidating. So I wanted to agree together for freedoms for these people. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we cast this down in Jesus' name. Lord, I know that Trump is very pro-homeschooling, it seems. And Lord, I pray that you bring to his attention anything that needs to be dealt with on a federal level, and that that gets put in place this year. And in the name of Jesus, we cast down any corrupt people who are purposely manipulating this, who are anti-homeschool, who are anti-family is what it is, and anti-Christian. And we cast them down in Jesus' name. We cast down the works of the enemy to try and destroy the family structure and indoctrinate the children. And I thank you, Lord, for freedoms for the people in Jesus' name. Lord, if you need your people to move out of certain states, Lord, then I pray that you guide them, show them where to go, provide the means to get out. But Lord, that the homeschooling freedoms will not be lost. And Lord, also that you would turn the hearts of the parents to the children, Lord, and restore hey, don't do that. And restore the one income family, Lord, where the mother stays home. And Lord, we just bind the spirits of intimidation off the mothers who think it's too hard, I can't do that, whatever. Lord, there are so many resources now. And I just pray, Lord, that you put a desire in the mothers to do this, Lord, and the fathers would be supportive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, in fellowship like ours, that the whole fellowship would join in and help out if they need to. And we praise you for that, Father. I'd like to skin some heads sometimes, I mean, I'm available for that. Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah. She keeps a pretty good handy set of paddles around. So that's good. Oh, my. Where'd she go? Oh, there she goes. All right. She's having to do a little correction there. One of the reasons that the public schools don't want the homeschooling is because each kid they get there, they get federal money for. And so they really come up against the homeschoolers because of that. Go ahead, Missy.
Do I recall correctly that they were going to stop federal funding of schools and they're going to put it all back onto the states?
Well, from what I understand, yes. I think they're even as we speak now. I read something about that today, or a little article that they're going to do away with the Department of Education,
That's what I thought.
and that'd be great. That'd be great. I hope they do that. And the Department of Agriculture. I think the Department of Agriculture is a farce. Okay, anyone else? Lord, we thank you for taking all hindrances away from the homes, the Christian homeschoolers. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. I know that there is some abuse in that, but Lord, for the most part, it is really good. I know for this, for Anna and her children and the others, that it's real good. They are way ahead of everybody else. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And then there's Shoshana. She's smarter than any of them. Yeah, Elisha, what are you doing, boy? Okay. Lord, I do. I just bless all the Christian homeschoolers that are teaching their children the principles of the Word of God. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Not only that, that some of them are teaching their children how to read out of the Bible. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for that. In Jesus' name. I believe I've heard the stories of, I believe it was Swaggart, that his mother or his grandmother, I forget which. Y'all having trouble hearing me? His mother and his grandmother taught him how to read from the Bible. And that's awesome. That's awesome. You do that, they'll know the Bible when they get up. Is the audio okay now? I have ordered, it's supposed to be in the morning between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning. I one of those podcaster arms that brings the microphone down in front of my face. I'll be looking like Joe Rogan over here, only I got hair and he ain't. So praise the Lord. But it's so that we can get some good audio out of this thing. I've had some people that have told me that my audios on the book study sometimes are hard to hear. I just figured it was my vernacular rather than the audio. Anyway, who's next? I know I speak well. It's the other people that don't speak well. It's some Yankees that don't speak well. That's it, huh, Anna? Oh my. Okay,
Michael?
who's yeah, Joe.
Oh, well, how can I say it? I get more comfortable now with you speaking and your teachings, but well, I have to slow mine down about 2.85 of a normal speed if I listen to you or David.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I try to talk like a Yankee when I do the broadcast. I'm not doing a very good job, am I? No. Okay. Well, I'll work on my enunciation. How now, brown cow? All right. Who's next? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Okay, yeah, that'd be good. If you got a good song, let's hear it. I'd like to, because I was feeling a little bit ill just a minute ago, but I just rebuked it. Now I'm feeling
Yeah.
great. Praise God.
Can you share position, share
Oh, okay.
permissions?
Yeah. Just a moment. Okay. You got it. Hey, Josie and Cheryl. my, that was awesome. That was awesome. Okay, Anna, you got your work cut out for you. That was awesome. Yes, it was. I enjoyed that. Beautiful kids. Beautiful kids. Glory to God. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Hey Jules, can you put that in the chat? The link to that? That is awesome. Thanks so much
Yeah,
for sharing.
please
That just
do.
so
That'd be
blessed me.
awesome. Yeah. Y'all like it, kids? Yeah, Shoshana Now, Shoshana, we're gonna need a song out of you. Come, what is today? It's a Friday night. All right. Did you hear me, Shoshana? We're gonna need a song out of you come Friday night. That was pretty strong.
When you
You
first
know,
asked Holy Forever?
go ahead.
When you first asked her to sing, but we were muted, she said, "Is it Holy Forever?"
yeah, that'd be good. Okay, anyone else? Those kids are so, I love them. They're my grandkids. Come out there, Judy, on Tuesday night. I mean Monday nights and Friday nights, and they I park out in the Anna and Matt's yard, and they all come out there and play in the back of my truck. So I let them do that. They have a great time. We all do. Okay, who's next?
I
Okay.
Andrew, did you have your hand up?
I did what? Oh. Okay. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Can I ask? I'm not sure. How can I really ask? No, but AI, but all, if you're looking for something, it's AI. Everything is AI. Is it the good to support them or to look at it or? What you thinking about that, Michael?
I'm not sure I understand. What did you say, Jim?
He said that like anytime you go to search something, like in a search engine, whatever, everything AI pops up, you know, the automated, it's automatically there. When you go to search, like even on our website, I notice this on there, that AI comes up first, that this is what, you know, they summarize and they'll list things. So he asked if it was okay to support it using the AI
Yeah,
technology.
I guess I don't use it. It comes up on mine too, but I just go ahead and use DuckDuck search engine on that. DuckDuckGo. And I just bypass it. But you know, you can, it's not gonna, you just pray and use it. I think sometimes I one time I did, and they just really go too far sometimes. With the AI, and you'll get all kinds of garbage in there. Sometimes I don't know if that happens all the time, but that's why I don't use it. I don't trust AI, but that's just me now. You can pray over it and use it if you want to. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, AI got defeated in the wilderness.
Yes, it did. Amen. That's a good one,
Amen.
Andrew. So there you go, Joe. Amen. All right. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to just praise the Lord again. I'm sitting here, and every time the AC kicks on, it blows harder, I believe, than it ever has. I don't know. It's just, I have a vent right back here, and I almost feel chilly, and we have it set where we normally have it, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for a system that works really well, and we're gonna have lower electric bills because of it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So, anyway,
I believe it, Lord,
praise
with
the
you. I
Lord.
believe she's going to have a wonderful bill. It's not going to be very big at all. And that she's going to keep her sometime around 68 degrees in there. In Jesus' name. No? I don't know what y'all like up there.
You can adjust your thermostat now, Missy, to something a higher temperature if those people are cool enough.
Okay, well, I'm afraid to do that only because I'm sitting next to the vent. But the AC guy was kind of like, really? Because we have it set at 75. Because over in the family room, I used to have it lower, but Merle's over in the family room. That's the coolest place in the house, and he gets cold over there no matter what time of the year it is. So, like in the summer, he has to close the AC vents, and in the winter, he has to open. Have the vents open for the heat. So, like sitting right next to it, it feels chilly, but like if I'm somewhere else where I'm not right next to a vent, it might just feel normal. 'Cause I'm afraid if I jack it up even more, that it then it might feel too warm. You know what I mean? So, but thank you, Lord. I know that it's doing a better job than what the other one was. Praise you,
Watch you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. But they'll find its niche, and it'll be cool year round. I think Matthew puts his on 65 year round. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
So Shauna thinks you are asking her to sing now, and she wants to sing.
Okay,
You're gonna
that'll
have to
be
get up here,
great.
though.
Yeah,
Just a little bit.
yay!
Santa, holy Santa, holy all creation, just cast.
Water.
That is so good. Thank you, Shoshana. You're a star now because you're on TV. Yeah. That was good, sweetie. I loved it. Everybody else did too. It was good, Shoshana. Thank you. You're a star now. She don't know what that is. Okay. Got your name in lights. Yeah, like Missy's talking about. Got your name in lights up there. Okay. Anybody have anything else they'd like to talk about tonight? Anybody got a question that you've been wondering about? That didn't look nice. Uh-oh. Here comes the enforcer. Right. See you, buddy. Almost 9 o'clock. Can't go to bed, I imagine. All right. Oh. Let's see here. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? What you been looking at in the Word? What's the biggest problem with the with faith that we have? What's the biggest drawback to our faith that we have in our prayers? Do you think? Yeah, Missy.
Well, like asking God to do the same thing over and over rather than asking him and just then just after that praising him and thanking him that it's done. One thought
Well,
I have.
it could be.
Not that you can't, because like maybe if you feel like the enemy keeps well, I don't know. I mean, it's not that you can't, but like I've heard David say, basically prayer is 10% and praising and thanking is 90%. So not that you can't, ask him or pray maybe some more specifics about whatever it is you asked or whatever. I don't know, but like I said, 90% is praising and thanking and believing that it's already done.
Yeah.
My thought.
I don't think praying multiple times is going to hurt you. What I think that'll do is help infuse in you the faith that you need to get up to the point where you really believe it. Like Jesus prayed for the blind guy. How many times? Twice? Two, three times? Two times, yeah. So it's not a. I know what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if you pray more, if you have to pray 99 times and you get it on the 100th time, you prayed 99 times in vain. That's what he said. My prayer, I believe this. I believe you can pray for God, pray for your healing, or pray for whatever it is that you're looking for and believe it. And like Missy said, thank him for it, praise and thank him for it, and confess that you have it. Is more important. I'm trying to figure out that verse in Romans. Talked about confessing with your mouth. Go ahead, Judy.
That verse that you're talking about is Romans 10, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
I was thinking how sometimes it's for me, sometimes it's the waiting, you prayed and then, as you prayed, now you got to rest, but then you got to deal with the thoughts of your own mind, and the reasonings and that kind of thing, and you got to battle against the enemy. As you wait and you rest, and it's there's that warfare, and because the devil doesn't want us to have a testimony, he doesn't want us to receive, he wants to keep us in doubt, or he wants to keep us in some kind of confusion. Is it me? Have I done something wrong? Am I in sin? All the questions the enemy will try to put in your head, trying to figure out what what is it? So it's that waiting part and doing the spiritual warfare against the mind and the devil, and just being patient. And I was reading one of the books in Andrew Murray on prayer, and it had to do with on waiting. One of the things he said in there, it makes so sense. It is, but it's like as you go through the waiting, there is a suffering going on because you don't want to give in to doubt and unbelief, and so you're going through a suffering as you're waiting, but you just have to, just keep confessing it's yours, whatever it is. So waiting.
Enduring in our
Really?
faith, right? That's the big thing. I think that is one of the biggest drawbacks to our faith is that we think it ought to happen in the next 5 minutes. And well, you ought to have that mindset. You ought to have that mindset. But if it don't, we just endure in our faith to the end. Missy was talking about we praise the Lord for it. We confess it. We confess it, we're healed. Remember quantum faith. You confess that you're here, things are working in your body already when you confess that you're here. It's already started. You started the process, and God is watching you and saying, well, is he going to hiccup and say, well, I ain't healed yet. I wonder what's going on. You don't do that. You just keep on praising God and thanking him that you are healed. Not that you're going to be, but that you are healed. And I think that's where I know that's been a small problem in my past as far as standing in faith for myself is getting, how you say it, you get a little bit frustrated that something hadn't happened. And you start complaining to God, you know, well, bless God, I thought I was healed. Lord, come on now. What? No, we just need to keep thanking him and confessing. He is making a trial for us to see if we're going to endure in our faith to the end, as David talks about. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on us. I'll tell you something that the Lord said. Well, I'll wait till later. But yeah, it's enduring in your faith to the end is the biggest problem I see in our faith walk. And that's probably in about everybody. Yeah, Andrew.
I was just wondering, you know, like if I was to say heart to you, what does that mean, really? You know, where is your heart? Where is the heart of the matter? You know, the
Sure.
heart of the things. What's, you know, sometimes you tend to think of that organ that pumps your blood, but what is the heart? Whose heart is it? See, usually you can use a term like the heart of the matter, what's central to this, you know, and you know, there's when you look at a heart for us, it has to be circumcised. So I just making statements here. That's all. You know, like if you're going to have a heart and you're going to let someone rule it, rule your heart, govern it, I don't know, like if you're going to give your heart to someone and they're not going to give you any attention, or if they're not going to give you any love, then or if they start rolling their eyes at you or you know, it's sometimes nice to have fun things happen, you know, like a joke or something, but what is the central thing to your heart now and to your mind? Because the heart is in so many different scriptures that are very pertinent, and your mind also. So what is central? What's the heart of the matter? When you use the term inner man, Okay. That's the inner man. You know, and that's the heart of the matter. That's you know, I was just reading some scripture verse. I wish I could remember it. And then I went, the heart, you know, and I wish I could remember what he was talking about, but it just sort of clicked, you know, and I should have made a note of it, but you know God's sovereign. You know he's not steering you wrong. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So what kind of heart does he want to create you into? And mind also. No. Do we know how to be a king? Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the high priest, and we're supposed to be a priest also. And what would be the heart of this priest that we're supposed to be like? Melchizedek? And, you know, he doesn't have a pedigree, because he starts with God. And someone dwells in us. And that someone is God, because we have the verses to prove it. That God dwells in you also. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Where does that go? In your heart, the center. You know, you can associate that heart and that inner man with that song, I Surrender All, you know, and give it all to Jesus, you know. And but what does that really mean to you? What does that really mean to your walk with God? You know, did he not ask us to imitate him and use the term love, to walk in love? So my hope is that this is encouraging people. That's all. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yep, it should be. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, when you said about enduring in your faith, you know, enduring to the end, you know, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. What came to me was, is, you know, it's a trial of our faith, but it comes to me is just to rest and not get in your own works and try and do what you, I hope God, like Abraham did, and not, you know, like I said, help him out, just to rest, you know, rather than, you know, you've been going through the same thing for a long time, and it's like, okay, God, is it not happening because there's something I'm supposed to do? I know that's something, you know. Andrew relates to that big time. I can tell he's laughing, you know. So it's just resting, learning to rest, and, you know, just trust in the Lord that if by chance, not chance, but that's just a saying, if, you know, the Lord would have you to say or do something concerning the situation, that he'll just put it in you out of the blue, and you don't have to think about it. You don't have to, you know, think, okay, is this what I should do, or should I do? Whatever. You know, I know that's something that I battle with, to be honest with you. So thank you, Lord, for helping us all with that, that we just rest and know, Lord, that you're going to do it, and you don't need our works. You just want us to rest and trust and believe you, Lord, that you're answering our prayer, and it's going to be by you're gonna do it, and we don't need to do anything. Thank you, Lord. Because most of the time, it's what things are impossible with man, all things are possible with God. It's nothing he can't do, nothing too hard. So thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. Yeah. Well, like Andrew was talking about, who lives in us? Do we trust who lives in us? Do we trust him with our life? Yeah. We walk in Christ, and he walks in us. Now, if that's the fact, then whatever he's, you're having trouble hearing me. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, be glad when that moon gets you. Anyway, the I lost my train of thought here. Heart. Okay, that's where we were. Oh. But anyway, when we figure out that we can trust the person who's living in us because we have repented and we have come into the kingdom, and when you come into the kingdom, you are a new creation. When you're a new creation, you're a new creation in Christ. And when you're a new creation in Christ, you take on Christ's attitude, his look, and everything, his faith, and all of that. And you just believe from that point on. And you keep reading that book to get more looking like that. David's talked about this many times. Walking in Christ, looking at Christ, talking like Christ, you're going to be like Christ. You're going to be able to go up and walk to somebody and say, God told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? Sure, if God told you. Lay your hand on them and they're going to be healed. Just like that, because you believe that Christ lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, he's the one working through you. We're his hands and his feet. We take the gospel out there by believing what the word of God says and believing everything that the word told us to do. Go out there and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Anyway, and same thing applies to us. Nothing changes when we pray for ourselves. And I know it's a process. It's a learning process. But there should be a time when we all walk in divine health without any help from anyone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be all walking in divine health. But why? Because Jesus lives inside of me. And if he lives in, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, the devil ain't supposed to be there. And that's what we need to start telling the devil. Devil, Holy Spirit's here. It's time for you to go. Bless God, you got to go. I can hear. My sinuses are cleaned up. And everything else about me that's been wrong is healed in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that from this point on, I ain't talking no nothing negative now, another time in Jesus' name. Because the enemy has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And that is my receipt in full that I am healed, delivered, and set free by the stripes of Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, I get some hands in. Go ahead, you, Missy.
Okay, what came to me was this verse, Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
So what do
Thank
we
you for
have to
your
do,
spirit,
Miss?
Father. Well,
I
it
can't
kind of
really.
reminds me of what you've shared. It kind of reminds me of what you've shared from John G. Lake about, the effects of praying in the spirit, how it affects your whole
Spiritual
being,
life.
really. Right. And your body, I think praying in the spirit just gives you more life spiritually and physically, praying in the spirit, let's say in Jude, oh help Lord.
Well, when you pray in the
Building
spirit,
yourself
he's
up in your most holy faith and in the love of the Father. Yeah.
What he said was he had it tested out by scientists, doctors, and they said when you pray in the spirit 30 minutes, you get 30% of your immune system rises up immediately. And so if you could do that for 30 minutes and you do it for 60 minutes, that's 60%. If you do it for an hour and a half, that's 90 minutes. If you go another half an hour, that's 120 minutes. You got enough to slosh over on somebody else, glory to God. You see what I'm saying? But that's praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. And I'll tell you something else praying in the spirit does. Opens up the spiritual realm till you start seeing angels. You start seeing demons too. But you also start seeing Jesus too. It's awesome. It's awesome to pray in the spirit. And I'll tell you something. Let me just give you a little testimony myself. I slacked off of praying in the spirit for, gosh, I don't know, few weeks, seems like. Every day I used to every day I'd pray in the spirit for at least an hour just for that one period of time. But I might pray another hour later on in the day, and then another hour later on in the day. And I was seeing things in the spiritual realm quite a bit and getting words from the Lord. And then when I stopped, everything stopped. I couldn't see in the spirit anymore. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? He said, you know what's wrong. So I went back to doing that just here recently. And oh my, Lord just opened up the whole world to me again, only this time. I saw Jesus more. I saw Jesus more. And that's what I'm saying. Pray in the spirit. That's good, Missy. Pray in the spirit a lot. Pray in the spirit a lot. That is our portal into the spiritual realm, actually. I believe that's my belief. Not to say that the Holy Spirit can't use you if you don't, but I'm just saying it makes it a lot easier for you. And then while you're praying in the spirit, ask the Lord to give you those gifts. Whatever gift you want. Whatever gift you want. I had once somebody call me the other day and wanted to know if they could change their gift, if they could get the Lord to change their gift. I said, yeah, if you got the faith to believe it, you could ask him anything, he'll do it. That's all it takes is the faith to believe it. Or to add one, makes no difference. It's all about faith. It's all about belief. Believing what the Lord God said. If you pray and you believe that you have received, you shall have it. That's past tense, ain't it? You know what I found out the other day, Andrew? Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I found out that David has told us that in Mark 11 and 24, it says, believe that you have received, past tense. In the ASV, it just says receive, present tense. But in the RV, Revised Version, and the NEMT, it says past tense, received. Well, praise God. Just confirmation to me. That's all it was. I didn't know the RV had that. That's the Revised Version. Did you have your hand up, Judy?
I was just thinking when you're talking about praying in the Spirit, the Apostle Paul, mentioned in Corinthians. I think it was Corinthians. I thank my God that I pray in the Spirit more than you all, I pray in tongues more than you all. And so he knew the value of it. And I think it is a discipline. I think the enemy wants to get us distracted with other things and keep us from, pressing into that. Or, even if you're out walking or riding your bike or driving. Or, vacuuming, washing dishes, whatever it is you're doing, out in your garden or whatever it is you're doing, to be mindful about, Lord, remind me I'm here. It's just you and me. I can pray in the Spirit, whatever it is, if you can, because you can do that without being distracted about what you're physically doing, So, and I remember there's one of those old Bible studies. I don't know what it was in. It was one of those old ones where they were talking about how you can even be, reading the Bible and praying in the Spirit. You can do that at the same time because your spirit and what you're reading is separate from what you are praying in the Spirit. It's totally, it doesn't interfere. So you can actually read in the Bible as you are praying in the Spirit, and you will still be able to read and understand what you're reading. And I can even I have done this is when I'm reading listening to a Bible study, I will pray in the Spirit. So it's just something that there's ways to do it. We just need to be doing it, doing it and making us disciplined and setting it, making just making that time and be mindful of it. Just be mindful, Lord, help us all be mindful of it and to do it. Is it's doable. You gave us this gift and it's important. And we're, gosh, we're just talking. One of the, I don't remember which one, I think it was probably King James, but this guy used to listen to sometimes, but he was talking about the Holy Spirit and he was part talking that part, part about, praying in the Spirit and I think it was in Romans 8 about when you don't know how to pray. But he was saying, it's like, you are praying divine secrets to the Father. And this is the way he worded it, It's like, this is like divine, you're praying divine secrets, just you and the Father, And I thought that was kind of a neat way of saying it, It's like, wow, that is cool. It's, something really neat. It's just very personable and it is divine, It's his spirit, So praise God. Help us do it more, Lord.
Amen. I'll tell you, I like what Trump said. Trump. Lake said, forgive me. What Lake said about speaking in tongues, how he spoke in tongues was loud, long, and was something else. Loud, long, and
Often.
often. Okay, that sounds good. I'll accept that. And that's the way I do it. I do it loud because I like to do, I'll just tell you how I do it. I love to put on music and pray in the spirit. Spiritual music I'm talking about. Not singing, not I like to, I'll tell you one of my favorites is Jerusalem Arise with Paul Wilbur. But then there's some other ones that don't have, it's an instrumentation, instrumental that I like also that are, they call them prophetic something or other, intercession music. But my favorite is Paul Wilbur. And that's an hour long. And I know when I get through with that one, I've got an hour in. Not that it's a law that I do, but I just love to do it with Paul Wilbur. It's just, he's got such an anointing in that particular album to me that brings out the Spirit of God. And yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I think that what helped me, what you're talking about praying in the spirit. I used to pray in the spirit, but softly, well, under my breath, and just speaking a lot. But lately, the enemy tried to give me some thoughts and directions and things. So I changed that to I'm speaking loud, so he cannot say anything. Well, I don't hear it. Just speaking loud and if I'm speaking, if I'm praying in tongues.
Well, help out there, Judy.
I think
Joe said something about the enemy when he's praying in the spirit. He wants to pray loud. The enemy will put in his, you know, his mind or something. He shouldn't be praying loud. Is that right, Joe?
I'll talk slower. I used to pray softly under my breath, but now the enemy tries to interfere with my praying, so I'm praying loud, so he cannot interfere with my praying. That helps me with doing it loud.
So that when you pray out loud, it silenced the enemy, because otherwise when you're praying quietly under your breath in the spirit, he would you it, he would interfere.
That's 100%, yes. That's what I say, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Okay. Amen. Well, just pray out loud. Yeah. Okay. You'll have to give me a y'all pray for me right now. Jesus' name. I command this spirit off of me right now in Jesus' name. You go. I don't accept this, and I command you to go for me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can I ask? I was also thinking, Andrew was talking a little bit earlier about the heart. I think first I posted, but that makes me think of as the Lord says He's going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. A new spirit, I know, understand, but a new heart, is it just your thinking or is it, your being? What does Andrew think about that? Andrew, is it your being or is it your thinking or is it your acting?
He's asking you, Andrew.
If you're asking for a definition, then the heart is the heart of Christ is what we want. You know, sometimes you can think of it as that organ inside of you because it's within you. It's the central part of your torso there. But it, and you have a breastplate to protect your heart. And, but your heart is central to loving the Lord. If you're bearing fruit in your heart, then you know the fruit of the Spirit is what you take with you when you go to heaven. So whatever's written upon your heart, you know, he that calleth you is holy, so be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. All those fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to have, which are listed in chapter 5 of Galatia, are supposed to be in there. How else would we obey God? How else would we love Him? Now, the confusion out there is people are substituting the love for law, and we know that at the end of the list of all the nine fruits of the Spirit is a rejection of law. So, and there are verses that even say that the law is on the cross of Christ. So, we know that love is something you have in a man's heart. But if God's gonna say through His word that He wants you to love Jesus, even phileo, but His word is agape for you, then where is all this love that's supposed to be in your heart? What is its source? You know, it speaks in a negative way of the pinnacle of abominations. You don't want that in your heart, because there is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But we don't have wickedness to love the Lord with. We want to have the righteousness. We want to have the light. You know, when you walk in the light, it says in John, but it, before that, in 1 John chapter 1, it talks about God being just light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he relates to us that within our heart, we need to have the Father also with Christ. And, you know, John had a way of saying how the light is your life also. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And if Father's the source of all this light, and Jesus came from the Father, then perhaps we have to reevaluate this light that we have in our hearts. You know, you know, I'm just thinking of someone who had a dream once. My son, on how he had his dream there, and he saw that man of light, and he pulled that bow, and that arrow went right into his heart. And when he said that, I felt it too, because, you know, you're with God a lot, and you know, there's a blessing for you, you know, where it says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, you know, when it comes to loved ones, what are you really mourning about? Is that not also part of your long suffering? You know, the Apostle Paul, in some of his verses, like there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 where he fears that the devil's going to come and trick us, you know, and sometimes we talk about that on how, when the job he's doing on us, you know, like, should we even, it's good to have that example for children to learn things, but he's got to do his job and God does his. So, and we're at the right hand of the Father, and there's just so many things a person can say that sometimes, you know, you don't want to lead anyone astray or anything, but you just want your heart to speak. You just want that light to come out of you like a flash. You know, if a flashlight, what do you take a flashlight for? You know, you got to make yourself away through the dark, you know. I got one of those wind-up flashlights, you know. You wind up the battery and it shines, you know. I don't need batteries, you know. You can even get one for a radio too, you know. And so you need that power for light. There's no power necessarily where there's no light, but it's just a different perspective of darkness. And you don't want any darkness, because our communion is with light, in common with light. And this light is your very life, the very eternal life also. Because when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but whoever believeth unto him perish not but have everlasting life. See, it's a progressive thing, as we know, and we have to shine brighter and brighter. Star glory to bigger star, to moon glory, to sun glory. But if he's associating the light with your very existence and life, and that light is the Father. You know, he was there before the sun, moon, and stars, and he had to see what he was doing, and he said that in the very first verse, let there be light. He was planning on making lively people with this light of his. And if you think about the destruction that's in the world now and the darkness that's out there, you know, they people have a means of admitting that there's darkness, but they don't want to repel it. They don't know how to come against it. They can't come against it because they don't have the light within them. They're not the children of light. So this heart, you need a heart to live. Now, you have a heart in your physical body, but what does that heart look like in that new body that's reserved for you, that's changing this one? How is it going to work for those people who are mortal when the rapture resurrection happens, mortal to go to immortality? So, you know, we got all these, this living life in us, and you can see how it could affect even children. I mean, we saw a nice, wonderful praise and worship song, but did they know what they were singing? And so there's just so much to words when people speak. And for me, the Lord set a foundation with me when I first came to UBM. Every word read, every word heard, every word spoken, and especially the words that pop into your head have a spirit attached to it, whether light or darkness, good or evil. But we are a king, and we have to know how to be a king under our king, the high king, the Father, and the King Jesus. And we have to be masters of our own vessels, as lords of our own vessels, and priests of our own tabernacle. We're not there to blaspheme a tabernacle. And that's why we have to love our fellow brothers and sisters, because they're part of the body, the one body of the tabernacle of Christ. And it's sad that I have to, I give bad examples when I come into my head, you know, like they'll say to a person, well, you're just a baby Christian, go and learn some. That's not something you say to your younger brother. And being the youngest in the family, you get the most of that, you know. But how does that work when it's the family of God? So, and what if, you know, some of these people just come into Christ right now. There could be someone coming to Christ. And is he going to be taken through the ropes of the world where he falls down again? And now the Lord has to leave the 99 sheep to come and rescue that one. You know, so why does he have to leave the 99 to go rescue that one? And with all this division, what's division compared to this heart we're supposed to have? So, you know, the mind, we are being given and sharing. The Lord shares his glory with us, and glory is light. You want to be like our Father who art in heaven. And if it's hallowed be thy name, then we better find out the name called the Word of God. And the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. He said he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. So here you have a heart that has a name to it. You know, the mind, the will, the emotions, the heart, the new nature, character, and authority. When you have to break down these words for even the smallest and youngest of us, you don't talk like that to maybe an eight-year-old that's saved. He might know what it means because you taught him. But you got to break things down to real basic language for some people. And I remember when I was going through that, you know, I was asking Michael something, and I told him, can you dumb that down for me a little further? And he says, I've done this as far as I could, Andrew. I don't know if I can do it anymore. And then I was going, okay, I'll just put that one on the shelf. I wish I could remember what it was. Anyway, sometimes, you know, just to be privy to such a conversation, you know, is wonderful. When we have a Christian, or I was privy to a conversation in this fellowship many years ago, and the person said on the other end, well, how do we know whether we're under the law or under grace? Well, just think about that, you know. These are some of the questions that you would get with people in denominationalism, but it's just a silly question. What are you under? Grace. You're not under the law. So why? But then there's a statement there. Got to be careful how I say that. You see, there's a statement there that Jesus, you know, when someone makes a statement like that, they're not supposed to, you know, and they're on, you're under grace, you know. He didn't say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, be strengthened in the law, Timothy. He's the next apostle, Timothy, coming up. Paul instructed him to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And this grace is also, because of his fullness, we all received grace upon grace. So this is controlling your heart. This heart of yours is being, the Lord wants to be gracious to you. You ask and you receive. You seek and you find. And you knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there is so much into that heart. You know, there's the love you're supposed to have. You know, you're not supposed to be fearful. Love takes out the fear, as it says in a certain verse. You know, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, and fear is a sin. So, and we're free from sin, and we have to allow the Lord to fix our hearts. You know, like some people would think you're taking an old car and restoring it to something new. You got to take the heart out of that car sometimes and fix all the valves in it and the engine and all the pistons and what's that? That rod there that moves them all up and down the crankshaft, whatever it is. And it's got to have good spark, you know. Can't be corroded with the darkness of carbon. Got to clean them off. And you got to have spark for life. And the heart has to be. It only God can do it. Only God can change your heart. Only God can write the Spirit of God upon your heart. You know, you understand things. You don't have to formalize it, but the Lord wants you to be able to formalize your understanding for the verse according to the best translation you can have. Yes, he wants you to get it correctly. But when we speak about the heart, it's speaking about all of us, because we're one body now. We have one heart, and it's a speaking that's of great difficulty, you know, because we want to be weak to the weak too. And you know, the person who came on here and said, well, how do we know if we're under the law or under grace? You know, you could tell them a verse. You could tell them, for sin shall not lord it over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace, you know. And or you can say to them, well, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So, you know, who's doing that? You know, like, don't take it for granted that you're doing that, because it's not your word. But even if a pastor fails in the future, his word that he spoke on television or whatever is still the word of God. You know, it's still the same word you're going to use, but with the power behind it. So even if they fail, you know, God's still in charge. So, and we often sometimes forget about really understanding that there's a father-son relationship here, a father-child relationship. And so that there's a lot to that heart, you know. And if you think about your heart and mine, the one you're supposed to have, get rid of the old man and put on the new man, then it's in your baptism. You know, you can go get dunked in the water, yes, and that water, you're surrounded. You're a vessel in the water. Not only is it filled over all, but in all and through all. So, you know, it was a good Canaan earthen vessel that was filled with water and then changed to wine. But when you come out of that water baptism, you get newness of life. Somehow your vessel that was surrounded by all this water, and the water is supposed to be within you as spirit, because that's the witness you have, it has to come out of you like the life and the light of God. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So sometimes as little children, we speak the word of God, and we just don't understand that we got a sword that could swing and destroy quite a lot. And that's why children are so powerful in the Lord, you see. And you don't put any restrictions on God's word. And I'm afraid now just by saying these things, because God don't like it when well, you know, he did kind of repeat himself a few times, you know. Samuel. Samuel. And you know, he's going in there to go to talk to Eli, because that's his spiritual leader as a boy, you know. And then it finally dawned on Eli, and he said, next time you hear it, Samuel, just say, yes, Lord. I hear you. What is it? You know. And you know, the Lord can talk to people who can't read. Talk to children. I can't remember where I mem, but what kind of heart does an what kind of heart does a young person have, a very young person who was martyred, you know? Anyway, the supremacy of our Father, we don't take for granted. We love our Father, and we want to love Him more and more. He's working on us to change our hearts, to circumcise our hearts by doing the covenant on us. Okay, He's writing. It says there in the covenant is in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. You know, He's writing these things upon your heart. But he told Moses that. I will write my law upon their mind and upon their heart. So if he said I would do it, then it's by grace. But to try and explain this to someone who's mixed up with the law, because, you know, Jesus didn't denounce law. He said it was holy, and so did the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:12. And, you know, then you get that, you know, it's really hard to read chapter 7 sometimes because, you know, you get confused and you get mixed up. You've got to go back and read it over again because, you know, that which I do, I don't want to do ever. but the final stage at the very bottom of that chapter is the new life that we have in Christ Jesus, and that life, and that has light to it, and you're a child of light, and there's seven lights in your lamp. That's mentioned in the book of Revelation. And there's knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But all these words are life. The bread of God, which came down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And the waters of the word sanctify and cleanse us, with the washing of water by his word. And it's now a witness that's in you, in your heart. You know, I think that one of the first gifts a person gets is discerning of spirits. You got that when you were coupled, because you said, man, was I ever a bad person? And man, is the world ever dark, you know? And you realize things right away. And because the Lord just downloaded a whole bunch of stuff in your heart that you had as law, but now it's life and it's grace to you. All by grace. You know, he just can switch things around just like that. That's the way creation is. There's no life there, and then there's life. He's got a bunch of dust and he makes a person. He makes Adam. And guess what? There's another person inside of him. What does that tell you about the last Adam? One body. Praise and glory to God. Oh Lord, I thank you for allowing me just to even comment in this high word of yours. And I pray, Father, that you would make me alive by your word. Like you did so many years ago when I said, you know, Lord, it's really nice to know your scriptures, but I want them to be alive to me. So praise and glory to God. Do you wait for things that already happened? And do you wait for the Second World War to start all over again? Do you wait for your Independence Day in 1776 to happen again? I mean, you celebrate it every year. Do you wait? How many of you mothers want to go and have your babies again? If it's already done, it's already done. I certainly wouldn't want to go to my past. I want the present and the future. And I haven't already arrived because but I want to go forward. I want to go up. I want to go higher. Even if, you know, sometimes some people pick the most difficult spot to climb the mountain. But if you just go up the ridge there, that's more manageable. You'll eventually get to the same place. The guy who went up the, and I don't know, like, that's kind of spooky to kind of climb the mountain and put these little things in the cracks and try to get your rope through and climb that way. So, and the higher you get, the closer you are to more life of Christ. Walking in the mountains, not in the valleys. So, praise and glory to God. See what happens? You see, this is a meditation that I'm trying to relay. And so, and sometimes this is really hard to do. You know, and I, that's why I come here, to hear what people have to say. Because I just want it to live through me. I want him to live through me like it's done. Praise God.
Amen. Andrew, me too. I just want him to live in me. Thank you, Lord. You know, faith in our prayers is a wonderful thing. It does impossible things. You know why? Because it brings God to work for us, and ain't nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. When we believe about prayer and faith, those two things work together real close. Prayer projects faith on God and God on the world. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer can move God. And that's, praise God for that, because we've seen a lot of miracles because of believing that. Remember when Jesus demonstrated his power on the fig tree? Then he told us that there's more power, it's more committed to faith and prayer. Not in order to kill, but to make alive. Not to bless, but to bless us. That's what Mark 11:24 is all about. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have it. We ought to ponder on that. Believe that you received them, and you shall have them. And that's describing a faith that realizes that it appropriates, which it takes. Such faith is a consciousness of the divine and an experienced closeness and a realized certainty when you pray with faith. Faith doesn't decline or grow stronger. We just start believing. We start believing what the word says. And we start seeing miracles happen. We start believing. Well, praise God. I got my prayer answered. Well, that's just number one. You start believing that who lives in you is the one that's moving that mountain out the way. Prayer and faith work together like twins. We all know that, but sometimes we forget about it. I believe in the days ahead that God's going to open up people's eyes to see with an anointing of how prayer and faith work together. Because we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, right? We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And when we do that, Jesus sitting up there, look at this God, Lord of God. He's believing for this great big thing here. I'm just going to give it to him or her, whatever it is. Because we have faith, and that faith comes as you pray and believe. You pray and believe. You pray and believe. You start seeing your prayers answered because you're doing like we talked about earlier, confessing that it's done already. There's a lot of things that play, well, there's actually three things that play into getting my prayers answered. That's faith, prayer, and confession. That's the three things that brings your prayers answered, gets your prayers answered every time. Y'all look a little bit, well, I won't say, but that's just the way it is. I know I've taught on faith a long time, but I believe it too. I believe it, and God really answers prayers when we start believing. Let me tell you something. Since I've been here, living with David, and not that means anything. It's just that, oh gosh. Oh, help me, Jesus. I said, anyway, I'm starting to, years ago, I started seeing things in my prayer life because of the things that he and I were praying about were coming to pass. I'll tell you a good one. And we listen to this. There's a great big Japanese, oh gosh, oak tree out here. That just a few months ago, there was a great big hole on the far side of it. It was hollow inside, and it was dying. So David come out, Brandy was here. David come out there and said, "Let's pray for this tree." So we did. We prayed and we believed. It had a hole in it, probably about like this. And it was hollow inside, and it was weeping. Some foul-smelling stuff from it. It smelled like, actually, it smelled like alcohol. And anyway, we just prayed for it, laid our hands on it, and prayed for it. In the name of Jesus, we command this tree to be healed. We command this wound to grow over. And we thank you, Lord, that this tree is not going to fall. It's going to be just like a brand new one. This was a few months ago. Went out there today. David and I were talking about it, and I said, "Come on, let's go look at that thing." Went out there and looked at it. Completely healed over. Yeah, it was. It was intoxicating itself on itself. Anyway, it was completely holed over. The bark was just perfect all the way across it, to where the hole was. And I'm telling you, I have never seen the like of growth on this tree like it is right now. There used to be, I've got two raised bed gardens out there to grow my vegetables in for David and I. And we can't get enough sunlight now. Can't get enough sunlight. Ain't nothing making because the tree has just completely blossomed out. I mean, it's gonna ha we're gonna have to do some trim. This is just in a few months' time. It's just an awesome testimony to what God will do if you just believe. We just believed and kept thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for healing that tree. Well, we started doing that for all the trees out there. Guess what? You can't walk out through there. It looks like a jungle out there. I ain't kidding you. It looks like a jungle. Used to, I could see 72, Highway 72, come up to a 411 at that stoplight right there and watch the traffic. You can't see the lights. You can't see nothing out there. It is just a jungle that what the Lord has done because of prayer and believing. Lord, we're just thinking that this is going to be a virtual garden out here. Garden of Eden. Or it's going to be Garden of David. Anyway, it's like that all around us. And we prayed it. We'd sit up, David and I sit out there on the porch, and Lord, we thank you for healing all of these trees. We got trees hanging over like this. Look like they're fixing to fall on the high line wires over there. I ain't going to fall. I ain't going to fall. It's going to upright. We believe that. And it's watching that it really uplifts your faith to believe that, hey, God's really doing it. Duh. You prayed the prayer of faith. What else can he do? Nothing, because every day we go out there, we thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us here. Thank you for this whole 10 acres. It's going to be a virtual garden. Yeah, you can go out there anytime, early in the morning or late in the evening, and they're out there hollering. Tree frogs, cry, 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 you know, just a virtual city going on, it sounds like. But reason I tell you that is we prayed this, we prayed it in, and I'm going to take a picture of it and show you. I wish I'd have taken a before picture. I think baby's got one. If he does, I'll get it and I'll show you that to you and show you where it is. You can't even tell it was ever looked like lightning had struck it. You know how lightning will make a scar all the way down a tree? That scar is gone. Yeah, Missy. You're tired of me talking, aren't you?
Now, I have a question. I've been wondering, is that where the rock is? It has the sign on the tree that said that's the tree that says the
That's a
stone which
sawtooth.
was
That's a
rejected.
Japanese sawtooth oak.
Wow.
It's got acorns on it, almost as big as hickory nuts.
What does the sign say?
It
Stone which
says
builders rejected.
the
The
stone that
stone
they.
which the builders rejected.
And it was a stone that they had knocked out of here to put the foundation for the house. And the Lord told him to go out there and get it and bring it up. Oh, you should have seen me and David getting that thing over there. I had to hang off the right side of the tractor, the left side of the tractor, uphill side of the tractor to keep it from going over because of the rock we were carrying up. That thing probably weighed a ton with the tractor. We hauled that thing out of there, boy. I'm gonna tell you. I set it up there. It was a hoot. That front end come up like that, you know, and I'll be jumping off that thing. But we got it in there, and the tree is a miracle. The tree's a miracle. Anyway, I just thought I'd give you that. And let you know that you can pray for anything. And if you believe it, God will go ahead and do it. I think he did that for us just to show us, you know, there's nothing that you can't pray for that I won't do if you believe. He's fixed our tractor, he's fixed our truck, he put a well in for us. We didn't have to hire anybody to put a well in. Lord, put the well in. 1,000 foot deep. Best tasting water you ever put in your mouth. It's good. We used to have a Berkey filter. We filter all of our water from the water company. All of our water from the water company we put through the Berkey filter. I threw that Berkey filter away. Don't need it. It's purest water I've ever had. It's sweet. It's nice. It's good water. Don't cost nothing either. I don't have to, don't get a bill from the water company anymore. We called up and told them to shut it off. Angels put it down for us. You know why? Because we prayed and believed. We're tired of going down there and putting that pump back in all the time because of the water company would shut the water off without telling us, and it'd burn up our booster motor coming up here, booster pump. Anyway, we got it all fixed now. They can't mess with us. Go ahead, Joe.
I mean, I just want to keep to praise report before we leave ignorant mind. I asked the Lord earlier last night, I don't put on my alarm for 12. I asked him to wake me up at 12 o'clock to spend some time with him before I spend some an outreach. He woke me up exactly 12 o'clock. It was on the dot. So praise the Lord God. For that. That was the first thing. And earlier, you ask if anyone want to ask a question. Now, I was thinking about asking something, and I searched my Bible on where the text reference is. But when Mercy was speaking, she was thinking about asking the Lord. So I just automatically asked the Lord, Lord, where's that verse? And the first thing I searched for, I find that verse. Just a quick thing is this. You usually think of yourself, now I'm going to, maybe this is where it is, but when you ask the Lord, it's just this quick. Not always, but thank be to God. Thank you, Father. You got that, Miss Acha, Julie?
I'm not entirely sure. You asked him for a verse and you opened up your Bible, and then I didn't hear everything after that.
I was searching for a verse. But I want to want what I want to ask a question about, and I couldn't find it. But while I was searching, Missy was speaking about something, and she said, "Ask the Lord." So I automatically, quickly, then ask the Lord. Then the first thing I saw or searched for, the Lord gave me the answer.
The Lord gave you the answer, the verse you were searching for.
Yeah, just after Mercy ask the Lord. She talked about just ask the Lord. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
Thank you, Lord. That's quick. Well, like Michael talked about big things. This is two small things, but it doesn't matter. The Lord speaking, the Lord helping us, and praise the Lord.
Michael, we cannot hear anything you're saying. Nothing. You must have unplugged your mic. No, we can't hear you again.
I had to hold it in. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay,
yes. Yeah.
I got my hands off of it. All right, Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night tonight, and we praise you. You can't hear me now. Okay, but thank you. Oh, help me, Jesus. Yeah. Help me, Lord. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night. We've had a wonderful night. I had a wonderful word from Andrea. It was great, and we thank you for it. And we praise you, Lord, that we do have bold faith to believe your word. And Lord, we just believe that whatever we pray for is going to happen. I thank you, Lord, for divine health and everybody here that needs it. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree we are healed by the stripes of Jesus on his back. That was our receipt paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to put up with it. And devil, get out of here. Get out of all of our brothers and sisters that need it. Right now, in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we're all healed, delivered, and set free by the stripes of Jesus. That's what the word says, devil, and that's what you got to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, y'all. Did I record it?
It's still recording.